Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Stephen St. John and Nate Ducati with Jake Gutierrez, now joined by Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com. Jeff, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I'm more concerned about you two or you three. I know it's been a long, what has it been, 5 days, 4 days now?
I'm focused on November 6th. Canelo Alvarez has a super middleweight unification bout, and so...
Sporting Kansas City's in first place, man. I don't know what you're talking
about.
He'll
have all the titles if he beats Caleb Plant. Yeah. Caleb Plant's talking a lot. Andre Ward picked Caleb Plant. Broke my heart. Broke my Mexican-American heart.
Don't worry about that.
Look at Jake's face now. Kind of scared me because Andre Ward knows what he's talking about. But Andre Ward's kind of bitter towards Canelo because they were talking about him maybe coming out of it. Ah, I'm not going to go down that road too far, but screw Caleb Plant.
Oh, Andre Ward, I liked you.
Past tense now.
Guess on the show. He'll be wrong. That's all.
We got Polish Power fighting in the UFC on Saturday, too, right?
Absolutely.
Let's go.
See, we're fine, Jeff.
We're just pretending that there's not a big elephant in the room over there.
Do you watch Succession?
I do.
Have you been watching the new season?
I've seen the first two episodes.
Wonderful.
It's good stuff.
So you're a fan?
Oh, yeah.
Who's your favorite character? Who's your favorite kid?
No, the big guy, the dad.
No, I mean my favorite kid. I like Shiv.
Yeah, you know, I like Kendall.
You know what, though? But nobody has the one-liners.
Like Roman?
Yeah, like Roman. He had some good ones.
He's got a one-trick pony, though.
Right. One trick's pretty good.
Which one's Macaulay Culkin's brother?
Roman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've seen the very first episode of the whole series, and wow. It's like that guy's.
You'd love it. It's great.
I almost started watching it last weekend, but I just.
No, you could power through that.
I got one episode of Ted Lasso.
I love the scene in the first episode. I won't ruin it for you since you haven't watched much of it. Where they're all going back to New York to get their game plan together, and Roman once again on the plane with his dad. He's like, "Dad, you want
right?
We gonna play with you?" I'm like, "You want to suck my?"
Yeah, right. No, yes. You see that scene?
You want to suck my?
Did you see how sad he was when he didn't get in the SUV with him this week? You know, he gets an SUV. Shit, he's over there. You know? He just wants to ride with his dad. You did. It's fantastic. Okay, one more before we move on to I can't avoid the Chiefs for an hour. Did you watch Squid Games?
I have not seen that. I've heard about it, but I have not.
LeBron James did not like the finale. I'm just going to let you know that.
I've been watching BMF on Starz. It's a homegrown product. It's about Detroit drug dealers in the 80s.
Is it good?
It's really good. Okay. 50 Cent produced it. It's about these two brothers, the Flannery brothers, Demetrius and Terry Flannery, who when I was growing up in southeastern Michigan, they were a big, big deal.
So it's based on a true story?
Yeah.
Well, I'll watch that.
Yeah. Like all these guys, the white boy Rick, all these characters kind of run through it. Snoop Dogg's in it. Eminem's going to have a role in it.
Did you like the white boy Rick movie?
I did not.
Neither did I. I was let down by that.
Yeah.
So, But this is okay. Finally... I know that you asked us how are you, because this weekend, a battle of undefeateds, Michigan and Michigan State, man, oh man, that would be...
What's Teicher said?
That would be, well, he hasn't said anything yet, punch in the stomach.
Laying in the weeds.
Gary Barnett did pick, even though he has a tremendous distaste for... the Michigan State head coach, he did say he thinks Michigan State's going to win.
Mel Tucker.
But it's, because he ran out of Colorado after a year.
He's
not a fan.
And so here it is. This is the season you've been waiting for Michigan. You think maybe there's a chance they could make it to the playoffs. And then, boy, wouldn't you know that Michigan State is also undefeated, and you have to play in East Lansing. What's your?
Oh, I would say anybody who's a Michigan fan or follower or alum knows that usually when Michigan State wins the year before, it usually means Michigan is going to win the next. That gives me a lot of hope. I mean Michigan State's had a really good year, and I'm happy for Mel Tucker, and I like
Gary Barnett is not.
Sounds like it.
Right.
Sounds like it. But I feel like this. I'm sure Adam Teicher's staying quiet because he knows the narrative as well as I do. When there's revenge on the line and Michigan's coming, usually Michigan State beats Michigan when Michigan is in a place where they feel like they're better or overlooking Michigan State, where they don't respect them.
They're too arrogant.
When's the last time but there's been so much riding on a game for both of them?
Oh, it's...
I mean, this is about 7-0.
Didn't your brother go to Michigan State?
He did.
Is he talking smack yet?
He's staying quiet, too.
All right.
Everybody's staying quiet,
because they know. They know up there, you know, what happens when they...
Look, so you're super confident here.
I'm not super confident, I feel like Michigan's not going to go in there and underestimate them. Like last year, they underestimated them, and they got beat up, and it just stormed down. Usually, unless Michigan's really in a bad place where they've been with the previous coaching staffs, it's a different story. But when the teams are even or there's a loss that Michigan's had the year before, Michigan is, trust me, they spent the entire week looking at film and talking about this and waiting to see. Now, the previous administration, the old coach at Michigan State, I forget his name now.
Rodriguez?
No, Michigan State.
Oh, Michigan State.
He just retired. I can't remember his name. I don't know why I can't. He just retired.
He had no respect for Michigan State, clearly.
But he and Harbaugh didn't get along. And so there's not as much of that going on with Mel Tucker, but it's still in-state rivalry. Yeah, it's the same thing with Kansas State.
Well, I'm hearing a little of the arrogance of... When Michigan loses, it's because they overlooked Michigan State, not because Michigan State was better. You know, that's what I'm hearing from you right now.
Mark D'Antonio.
D'Antonio. That's what I'm saying. But I always respect them. I always think that they can get up there and win. But when you know coming in, you're like, we're going to come in here and we're going to kick the crap out of this team. Okay. It's a different story. They when you know you can lose, you play differently.
But you say Michigan wins.
Yeah, Michigan wins.
By more than four?
I like them by 10.
There it is. He didn't hesitate.
Conflicting. Yeah, well, Gary Barnett saying that, you know, wrong team.
Jeff's invested in this, though.
I know.
I've got more blood that's been spilled in this rivalry than Gary Barnett.
True.
And Mel Tucker might have his eyes on LSU.
He might be leaving town soon.
Right. And that's Gary Barnett says. He's, you know, it's suitcase Mel Tucker. He's already packing. Ready for his next destination. We have Jeff Chedea from NFL Network.
Playbook will travel.
That's right. And NFL.com. Okay, so this has been... Boy, there's so many different ways we could ask this. Okay, so let's start with Patrick Mahomes, because I've been listening to a lot of people give their opinion as to what is wrong with Patrick Mahomes. And there are other problems that are way worse than Mahomes, but he's coming off maybe his worst performance we've ever seen in a Chiefs uniform. And so is he just pressing? Is it the offensive line? Is a little bit of everything. Let's start with what is wrong with Patrick Mahomes?
I think the two things you just said are part of it, or a big part of it. I do believe he's pressing. And he's pressing because that's been his job throughout his entire time as a starter here, is to right all the wrongs. Right? So that's the narrative that's been laid out since from day one, that he's the guy that if you have a quarterback of that caliber, no matter what's going on around you, he's going to find a way to win. Right? And so that's number one, which I've never bought into that, and you're seeing the reality of it now. But if you try to create that kind of scenario for a quarterback, especially a quarterback that young, number two, the offensive line is an issue. I haven't thought he's trusted that line for a long time now, because you've seen him bailing out of clean pockets. It is a combination of him, you know, the way he plays, his playing style. Orlando Brown, in particular, I never believed that he would be a great fit in this offense because of the way Patrick runs around, because of the sets he takes. You have to be really athletic as a tackle to be able to handle some of those things that defensive ends can throw at you when you don't have a quarterback like Lamar Jackson who can take off and make up for that. And so you're seeing the tackle struggle. You know, that's tough. As much as they spent on the interior of the offensive line, this offense is built on those tackles holding up and protecting, because they want to throw the ball down the field. And if you want to throw the football down the field, you better have time to do it. And so that's part of it. I think part of it's play calling. You know, we talk about too high safeties. I think everybody, even if you don't know football, you probably heard too high safety more than a million times in the last 6 weeks in reference to the Kansas City Chiefs. And it's a very simple fix to it. It's running the football more. It's taking what teams give you. And this team's DNA, we talked about a couple weeks ago, about it's easier to talk about changing that than it is to actually do it, because it's who they are. They want to be aggressive. They want to throw the football down the field. They want to make big plays. You know, throwing 5-yard passes, throwing the backs out of the backfield, that's not as much fun for them. But that's what's being given, and that ultimately is what they're going to have to get used to taking to change this, because it's what they're trying to do is not working. And I've said even, you know, it's another thing that's part of this too is, and I've said this a couple of weeks back, and that when they played the Falcons last year and almost lost that game, that there were Falcons coaches and that defensive staff who said you could still fool Mahomes, that he's not seeing things as well as people think he does. And so there could be some issues with him recognizing what's going on. It could be a combination of him not recognizing things and his receivers not recognizing things, the way defenses are playing them. But, yeah, they're going to have to find a new way of playing. And once he became part of the problem, it was last week, this whole thing went to a whole different level.
So how fixable is it?
For him?
This year. Yeah, for him. Let's just start with him. I mean, then we can get to the rest of the
well, for him, it's fixable because he's super talented. Mm-hmm. And his body of work suggests that he's not going to play, he's not going to turn into Bubby Brister.
Bubby, for the rest of his career. I wasn't expecting a Bubby Brister reference.
I was trying to find somebody
like
who would you know, really open your eyes.
Yeah.
So no, he's not going that direction.
I don't want to watch it.
But yeah, but he can't keep playing with this attitude of, you know, you mentioned Saran, you know, I said this to him. I said, look, this team is playing like they still think they're the 2018, 2019 Chiefs, 2020 Chiefs. They're still playing to try to recreate that image of what they've been. And the only way you succeed in this league year in and year out is by constantly reinventing yourself.
The Patriots are the perfect example, because we look back and we think, well, Brady, and yeah. But there were years they were a ball control, run-oriented team. There were years where they lit up the scoreboard. They were, you know, they were different
they
versions.
They were 4 wide, 5 wide, yeah. And they went 2 tight ends. Yeah. And so that's exactly what I'm saying, that they have to start playing for what they are now. You can't. And some of that, again, is the narrative that's been created in this town since Mahomes became the starter, which is we got a winning lottery ticket here. We're going to load up. We're going to win all these championships, and we're going to overtake the Patriots, and we're going to end of the Mahomes' career. He's going to be the winningest quarterback ever, and he's going to have more rings than Tom Brady. Like, just focus on what you are now. Like, that was never a realistic ambition. And I get the excitement about that possibility. I remember talking to Corey Anderson in here last year before they played Super Bowl, and he was like, I was asking, you really think he can catch Tom Brady? Because to me, that was just insanity. And he was like, I think he can get at least 5. I'm like, 5? The best quarterbacks in this league are lucky to get 2. Like, Peyton Manning's got 2 rings. Brett Favre's got 1 ring.
And I scale things back, too, because I was on 5. Now I only think he'll get 4. but unless they get hot this year, then yeah, I'll be back to 5, and so we'll see. Yeah. I'm not sure what I'll do with it.
Also, the thing with the Patriots is that they always had defense. Bill Belichick's a defensive-minded coach. So, I mean, they always...
Well, how many top-10 defenses has Tom Brady had? How many top-10 defenses? Well,
right.
Close to 10.
No, to your point, I'm just saying, to your point, it's like, yeah, they reinvented themselves on offense, but they always had a defense. They always had a, you know...
Yeah.
I'd like to go back and look, how many times did they have a top-half defense?
Most
I bet almost every time, probably, when they actually won it.
Yeah.
You know, and so it's like we can talk Mahomes. He's not the real problem here.
Yeah. Well, he is part of the problem.
He's not the problem, but he's part of it.
He's the only thing that can save them from where they are.
But that's the chicken or the egg, right? Is he playing poorly because he obviously you just spoke about it because he's pressing. He's trying to cover up the garbage defense that's being played right now. And you know, what's not talked about, how undisciplined this team is with the penalties. Every week they're just screwing themselves over with penalties, and that's lack of...
That's part of it, too.
Right.
Yeah, I'm not saying he's the only problem.
No, I know you weren't implying that, but it's like...
No, but that's the issue that's most likely to turn around and be fixed.
Correct.
The defense is what it is, and I don't have a whole lot of hope that that's going to... I mean, look... Nick Bolton is better, you know, at that spot than Anthony Hitchens at this point. Yes, but Bolton still is a liability in pass coverage. But that's not what he does. He's a run stopping linebacker, and he did a fine job against Derrick Henry. But Everyone else played like garbage, you know. And still, he was in, and he gave up quite a bit in pass coverage. Willie Gay is going to be better. I mean, Thornhill's been an improvement. But the bottom line is none of that matters if they can't get to the quarterback. Man. They can't get to the quarterback. And the way they built the defense, they invested all that money in Chris Jones and Frank Clark. They got to get to the quarterback. If they can't get to the quarterback, and I think Spags, I saw the stat that he's blitzed more than, I mean, any other team except one. I mean, so he's blitzing a lot. And you continue to blitz, I guess you take your chances, you give up big plays, so they're getting sliced and diced anyway. If they can't get to the quarterback, it's not going to turn around. So they got to get to the quarterback, and most people feel like the best path to that happening is Chris Jones going back to being predominantly an interior defensive lineman and having Frank Clark and Mike Dana on the outside. I don't even know if that's going to work because, as who pointed it out, and it was smart, Grenhart talked about this, with the wrist problems and everything else, it's harder for Chris Jones on the inside, mm-hmm. his usage of hands and everything else, as opposed to defensive ends. I don't know what the answers are, but they got to get to the quarterback if they hope the defense is going to turn around at all.
Yeah, that's part of it. But I think a larger issue is just, I think they look tired to me. They look like a team that's really... that's had two long years of playing football, that has a lot of guys on it, that won a lot of things outside of football. You know, when you go back to 2019, when you're around that team, 2018 and 2019, it seemed like all they cared about was winning a championship. Now it seems like Tyrann Mathieu wants his new deal. He's on Twitter all the time. Frank Jones has got legal issues. You know, Tyreek Hill's looking for a new deal. I think the first game of the season, he talked about after that big game against the Browns, he came to the podium, press conference, and the first things he said was, someone asked about the game he played. He's like, I just want to retire my mom. I just want to make sure my mom can live without having to worry about money again. To me, which was kind of a throwaway thing that no one really noticed, but that's on his mind. Orlando Brown wants a new deal. Patrick Mahomes is dealing with a new baby. He's going to get married. He's, you know, his girlfriend and his brother are always on social media and someone's always popping off with that stuff. You know, it's just, there's just Andy Reid's got his son. I mean, there's so much stuff going on. And these things in the NFL, just one or two of those things can be problematic for a team. To have five or six, it's enough to where when guys come to work or when they go home, you can talk all you want about, yo, we compartmentalize stuff, we focus on what we got to do here, but if that's like whatever 80-85% of your day is hearing people talk about this stuff or focusing on this stuff, it's hard to go out there and win. And ultimately, the other part of this narrative that led to, you know, the belief about this team winning so many championships, and they still will probably contend for championships as long as Mahomes is here, is that there was this false notion that they were always going to be at the top. Mahomes was always going to be head and shoulders above everybody else at quarterback, and that nobody else was going to get better. And when you look around the league now, you're seeing Dak Prescott's gotten better. Josh Allen's gotten better. Justin Herbert's gotten better. Lamar Jackson's gotten better.
Joe Burrow.
You know, all these quarterbacks, Josh Allen, all these quarterbacks now are starting to rise up, and these teams are building up. These teams have spent the last 3 years trying to figure out how to beat this team, you know, through studying them, through drafting, through free agency. And if you're not really ready for that, which this team does not look like they're ready for that, you're going to get ran a lot. You know, as much as people talk about they could be three or four plays away from being whatever, 5-2 or 6-1 right now, end of the day, they've beaten two of the worst teams in the NFL, and the other team they beat was outplaying them for 50 minutes. At some point, you have to accept that's who you are, and the only way you dig out of that is by saying, we got to play better, we have to be more detail-oriented. 2019, 2020 is over. Running back is over. Who are we going to be from this day going forward? That's how they start turning this around.
Do you think they'll still make the playoffs?
No.
So right now you say they're out.
They're out. I don't see. Now, I could be wrong, but what I've seen for seven games, they've played one good half. I've seen a potentially historically bad defense for seven games. I've seen an offense that's been refusing to adjust and change to what teams are throwing at them. I've seen an offensive line that is struggling. And I see Dallas. I see Green Bay. I see the Raiders. I see the Chargers. The Bengals was supposed to be a throwaway game. They might end up being the best team in the AFC the way they're rolling. at least in the AFC North. And so, is this team in the next 10 games going to rip off 7-8 wins? I don't see it happening. I think if they win 6 games in that stretch, they're going to be lucky. And 6 games puts them at 9-8. And 9-8 ain't making the playoffs.
What if they do rip?
Well, how are they going to do it?
That's what I'm asking you.
How do they do that?
What's their path to doing that, to turning things around? Like I said, somehow the pass rush has got to get better. What's realistic? Because you've painted the picture of doom for the Chiefs.
No.
And so you
painted
said
it.
You could, yeah, I mean,
it's already right, there.
You could you said you could be wrong.
Yeah.
What's the path to proving you wrong?
The path would be taking what they give you on offense, playing small ball, finding a way to get a pass rush. Like you said, Chris Jones gets healthy and moves a defensive tackle, and they get something going there. That's about it. About all you can hope for. Because those three things are hard to get. So to go to like 10 other things happening, you're not getting anywhere unless those three things happening. And those three things are going to be hard to find.
Would you at least consider trading for a pass rusher, or are you just sitting in your draft picks and you're done with
it? I'd sit with the draft. I mean, you're not, unless you're one or two players away from winning a championship or competing for a championship, I don't think you need to be playing at the trade deadline, because all you're doing is adding more problems to an already problematic situation. The personnel moves are an issue here. This team is paying a price for lack of success with high draft picks. They're paying a price for not having a ton of draft picks to work with. They're paying a price for, you know, some you know, for Frank Clark, you know, or believing in Orlando Brown, you know, paying Anthony Hitchens. All these things led to a championship, which you can't deny was worth it. But, you know, in this league, the bill eventually comes due, and that's what you're seeing happen now.
We've got Jeff Chedia from NFL Network and NFL.com in studio, back after this on WHB. Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Thank you so much for joining us. Okay, explain this, Jeff. Here are the numbers. Here are the turnovers for the Chiefs under Andy Reid going back to 2013, right? 18, 17, 15, 17, 11, 18, 15, 16. That's every year.
Yeah.
They're on pace for 40.
Yeah. That would be a record, wouldn't it? I would assume it would be. I can't imagine a team having 40 turnovers and not being a record.
The most they've had was his first year, 18. And so part of me says it's there's no way they're going to stay at this pace and end up with 35 or 40 turnovers. But I keep saying they're going to stop turning the football over, and they don't. What is it? Is it just bad luck? I mean, what explains? Because I've heard a couple. Well, this is what the Chiefs are under Andy Reid. No, they're not. I just read it. And so, they have 17 right now. They already have one more than they did last year. Mm-hmm. So, like, what? Is it just dumb luck? Like, how do you explain it?
No, look, I feel like if you're really honest and you go back and you look at the tape last couple of years, like, there's been balls. We've talked about interceptable passes. There's been balls that have been thrown in the past that people just didn't catch. Like, I remember I mentioned the Falcons game last year, that if A.J. Terrell catches an interception in the end zone with 2 minutes to go, the Falcons win that game.
Right, maybe that explains a bump up to on pace for 25.
Yeah, 25. Yeah, exactly. So that's what I'm saying. So the ball has been in harm's way before. I think when you run a more aggressive offense, you are more prone to turning the ball over. Case in point, when Jameis Winston played for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, they had a similarly aggressive offense, throwing the ball down the field. And football people will tell you that, even though we had 30 interceptions in that game, part of that is you are going to be under more duress. You're asking your quarterback to sit in the pocket longer. You're asking him to throw the ball farther down the field. Old football coach told me a long time ago, the easiest thing to do in football is to hand the ball off. Second easiest thing to do in football is to fake the handoff and throw a pass. The third and hardest thing to do in football is to drop back and throw a pass. And so you're always going to be putting the ball in harm's way when the ball is going in the air. So that's just part of it. And part of it is I definitely, as I watch the game, I think defenses are playing them differently. When I see the turnovers that they have, yeah, you could say, okay, three or four or just bounced off somebody's hands and they got picked off. It was just, that's just dumb luck or just bad execution. But I see a lot of defenders around the ball when it gets thrown, which tells me that you're being schemed up, that teams are realizing what you're trying to do, and they're playing you for what you want to do. A lot of teams in this league, when they play defense, they will say, hey, if we're at a point where we're dealing with somebody who can't, who we can't stop, if we're throwing everything at them, maybe the best thing to do is just to expect them to do certain things and then play them that way. So if Mahomes wants to escape the pocket, let him escape the pocket. If he wants to run right, let him run right. We'll have our linemen run at certain angles to push him in certain directions. We'll make sure our defenders understand. Let's start plastering people earlier. You saw in that game last week when he tried to throw the football to Josh Gordon. If you see the play from the backside of it, you see the linebacker, as soon as Mahomes starts scrambling, he just turns around and goes to find Josh Gordon. I'm going to go find somebody and hold on to him. And his back was turned, Mahomes threw it. The guy turns around, ball's up in the air. So I guarantee you defensive coordinators are telling their players, one, let's set some traps. Let's let them run around, and we'll do some delayed blitzing, as the Ravens did in that game when Oweh got that pressure on Mahomes and he threw the ball up in the air to Kelsey. Let's make sure we lead him to half the field where we can create more congestion, get more defenders around the football, as what happened with the play against the Chargers when he threw the ball up in the air to Kelsey trying to make a play that at the end of the game. And you had five guys were in the area. And so I think people have gotten a book on them and him. And I think that's also part of this. And also even the fumble against the Titans, where Kevin Byer was shot out of a cannon. He came from like 20 yards down the field because we kind of blow it off. When Mahomes runs around, he gets a little bit cavalier with the football. And he'll like get a little clever. I'm not going to go out of bounds. I'm going to go out of bounds. The ball's hanging out here. I'm sure defensive coaches are saying when he's running, go take the ball away. I'm sure that's part of it too.
Okay, so you tell me if I'm wrong on this, though. And for the record, you told me to say this on the air because I said it when you went to the commercial break. Yeah. So I'll say it on the record. I'm not afraid.
Put your name on it.
I'm afraid you're right. I don't think this team is going to the playoffs right now, and I hope I'm wrong on that. I'm not saying they got no shot, but it seems a little bit less than 50-50 to me right now, looking at the schedule and looking at the problems they have. But my opinion is, listening to all the stuff you just said there, I think Andy Reid's an offensive genius. I think Patrick Mahomes, like you said, has the talent. I can see them fixing a lot of the problems that you just mentioned in terms of if other teams have, quote-unquote, figured out this offense, I think Andy Reid will make adjustments.
I think they figured it out. I'm just saying they figured out how to defend in certain situations.
But I think the Chiefs will counter that. I think Andy Reid will come up with game plans for that. I think Patrick Mahomes will continue to evolve. I think they can adjust to that. But here's what I don't think they can fix is that brutal defense right now. And, we were almost taught to disbelieve everything we've always believed in football, which is that you can't overcome a brutal defense. The team that Dick Vermeil had showed us, like it's been shown many times in the NFL, that if you got a brutal defense, you just can't have a good enough offense to overcome it hardly ever. But Patrick Mahomes almost did it against the Patriots, and in the last 2 years, the defense was good enough. It was mediocre. If this defense is this bad, and to me, like, the indications are it is this bad, they can't, even if they fix the offense, they might be able to fix the offense enough to win some games, but against this schedule coming up the rest of the way, I don't see how they can overcome a defense this bad.
No.
And that's the bigger question to me. Like, I have faith that the offense will be good, but can they be that good? Can they be, like, elite level that they can overcome a defense that can't rush the passer or cover anybody?
Well, let me ask you this. Did they lose last Sunday because of turnovers? Or did you get your butts kicked?
Yeah, I think they, even if they don't turn the ball over, they lose. It's just a closer game.
Yeah.
Right? Like, they got throttled.
They got
the
their asses kicked.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, even if they take care of the ball, it's like, okay, maybe they score some points. But they were never stopping that Titans team.
What was the score before the first turnover?
14-0, right? Yeah. Something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it was like the kind of drives that took your soul away. Those two drives were like, the Chiefs aren't stopping this team.
Yeah. Well, and look, I've been around NFL a long time. You can only be that bad defensively over a period of time. And there's enough guys who were here back in 2018 to remember what that defense was like. You know, that defense was better because it could rush the passer.
They led the league in sacks.
Yeah. I can't believe I'm saying this, but boy, do they miss D4 right now.
That league was light year. That league was that defense was the 2000 Ravens compared to this unit. But you're right in that over time, it's not just on the field, it erodes the trust within the team. And this team is always in a pretty good job of having each other's back and not letting it, you know, stuff get to you. It feels like, you know, you mentioned Tyrann Mathieu getting upset when coverages get blown. That stuff pisses people off.
You're getting shown up on the field.
You're getting shown up. You mentioned, you know, what's happening with Frank Clark and Chris Jones. That stuff drives people crazy because they're getting paid a lot of money. And so, yeah, there is, it feels to me, and I told you guys this a few weeks ago, that after they lost to Buffalo, you know, I was hearing that people were saying there's not enough people on this team who get upset when this team loses now. Like, there's some guys who can't sleep, who have a hard time with it, you know, and there's some guys that go right to the club, go to the bar, whatever. And so that's a splintering as well. And so the point you're making is legit. Like, you can't win a championship. You can't compete for a championship if you have a horrible unit on your team.
No.
And so that's why I just don't have a ton of faith.
Listen, the bottom line in this league is scoring points and stopping people from scoring. In 2018, the Chiefs averaged over 35 points a game. That was first. Points against, 26. That was 24th, but they led the league in sacks. But just still, there's a difference there, right? Mm-hmm. In 2019, they averaged 28 points a game. They gave up 19.3, which was seventh.
Mm-hmm.
In 2020, they averaged 29 points a game. They gave up 22.5, which was 10th. This year, I don't know, 26.9 points per game, four. That's eighth in the league. They're giving up 29 points a game. 29 points a game.
Yeah.
I mean, they're being outscored. It's just that their defense is you can't compare it to these other defenses. They're terrible.
That's also a byproduct of what I'm saying the narrative has been in this town for the last 3 years, which is all you need is an average to middling defense, and that'll be enough. But once your offense begins to decline a little bit, as you just said, they're not scoring as many points. You need your defense to play better.
Right, but if this was an average defense, it would be different. That's 29 points a game.
Yeah, but the margin would still be, even if it's whatever it was last year, it would still be 22 points a game they're giving up. You're still talking about a four-point margin, which if you have one or two turnovers, that's enough. What drives me crazy, what's driven me crazy the last few weeks, two things. One is when people say, if they just stop giving the ball away. They're not running down the field just saying, hey, here's the ball, take it.
Right.
Throw it up in the air. You know, defenses are taking the ball
McCall
away.
McCall Hartman's kind of done that a couple times. But
they've been reckless with the football.
But the other part of it is that everybody wants to say, well, the offense is fine. Look at the numbers, points per possession, this and that, record-breaking pace. Offense is two things, scoring and taking care of the football. The worst thing you can do on offense is turn the ball over. So you can tell me all these stats you want about how great they're doing moving the football. You turn it over, game's over. And so that's the first thing. That's the biggest thing they have to fix on offense.
We have one more segment with Jeff Chedia back after this on WHP. Welcome back to the Border Patrol and Sports Radio 810 WHP. All right, so we're having a conversation in the break. So you said one of the things that the Chiefs need to do offensively to get right, take what the defense has given them. And boy, I know this. People will just get sickened to hear this because it's not what we've wanted the past couple of years. But you said if teams are begging you to run the ball, daring you to run the ball, we'll run the effing football because it's there. You can run the ball effectively against these defenses that they're seeing. And so here we go. We bring up this point again. And what did you tell me? You got me started in the commercial.
I got you fired up.
What did you say this offense needs?
I just said I was looking up at the NFL, Good Morning Football NFL Network, and I just saw Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram just got graded back to the Saints, traded back, and I said they need some of that. They need to start doing what the Saints did with their backfield, doing what Packers did for Aaron Rodgers, getting him Aaron Jones, because
1-2 punch too.
1-2 punch. It takes some pressure off.
Okay, so
takes the pressure off.
They spend the draft pick on Clyde Edwards-Helaire, which I'm not going to go down that road again. Not a fan of a running back in the first round. But if you do, you got to pick the right one. You got to pick the best guy. And so I will go to your beloved Detroit Lions. DeAndre Swift.
Winless.
Yeah, DeAndre Swift. Do you know what he's doing? I mean, I'm just going to throw, then I get different teams and everything else. But people have longed for a running back to catch the ball more and be more of a threat in the passing game. He has 42 catches. He's on pace for 96 catches and 894 yards and 5 touchdowns and 600 yards rushing. 96 catches. He's a stud in the pass game. An absolute threat, right? The other guy they passed on, Jonathan Taylor, right? You talk about downhill running, just getting after, run between the tackles. You know, take what the defense is giving you. He's averaging 5.5 yards per carry. He's on pace for 1,323 yards and 11 touchdowns and 41 catches for 500 yards, right? I know Clyde's hurt. And this isn't all Clyde's fault. The Chiefs, what were we sold the bill of goods? Oh, this guy, wait till you see him in the pass game. How many catches do you think he has this year? I'm hearing you guys talk about how many catches Mecole Hardman has. How many catches do you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire has this year?
I'm going to say 10. 10.
Nate?
Yeah, something like that, maybe 10.
He's got 8.
Oh, wow.
He's got 8.
Which I think... There's a problem there.
And he's averaging 4 or 7, whatever.
The thing is, like, that. There's a lot to criticize about Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I admit that as a guy that was on board with the draft pick of a running back. I think it's pretty clear they didn't get the best one. But was there any doubt this guy can catch a ball out of the backfield? I mean, he put up numbers in college catching the ball out of the backfield. So that out of all the – he hasn't stayed healthy – he's not explosive when they give him the ball. That's all fair, but like to me, that's on either the scheme that they're not using him correctly, or Patrick Mahomes just isn't throwing him the ball. Well, because how else do you explain the fact that he doesn't have any catches? It was obvious that was one of his biggest strengths coming out of college.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
right.
Yeah, it is. It is. And again, that goes back to decision making. That goes back to scheme. But you know,
is that just because Mahomes refuses to throw it to the running back and looks downfield?
That's part of it. I see that happen a lot. I see backs open all the time in the flat, and it's just he's looking 15, 20 yards down the field. But I agree that what Steven's saying, those backs are better. And so, and they yes. took him specifically, the quote was, he reminds Andy Reid of Brian Rushbrook.
Right.
You know, so that was a pick of arrogance. That was a pick of, we have so much going on here that we can just add another weapon to the mix. And look, I raised the point about the Saints and the Packers because those teams realized that they had to play a different style. Part of it was because they had older quarterbacks, but teams are playing it differently. Imagine having an Aaron Jones in his offense right now, or Alvin Kamara, two guys who were third-round picks.
Imagine having like Jonathan Taylor or DeAndre Swift, who they
or Zach Moss in the third
round. It takes
round
pressure
that
off the quarterback. Right. I think the whole thing we're saying here, yeah. You got to find a way to take pressure off your quarterback. If you can't block for him effectively, give him some runners who can throw the ball to out of the backfield and make something happen that way. Tell him to take the stuff that's right in front of you like Tom Brady does, but stop playing the way you're trying to play, or at least adjust it to a certain extent so you can get back to it at some point.
Also, I know the Chiefs had two great targets in Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, but in college, so Clyde, his last year, he had 55 catches, right? Do you know who the three wide receivers you should know?
Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, and Terrence Marshall Jr.
They're not bad.
If I had an NFL team, I'd like that to be my three wide receivers. I'd be good to go, and Joe Burrow throwing him the football. But
hey, man, if you got Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, the running back's got to be open some. He just has to be.
We'll throw it to him. We solved some problems today.
Did we?
I don't know.
What's the score of the Chiefs and Giants? Solved that problem.
Well, they better win this game. I'll take them 31-27.
A shootout with Danny Dimes, huh?
On Monday Night Football. Every game is going to be a shootout. It's going to be a blowout or a shootout.
If this is a shootout on Monday, I may not be here Tuesday. We'll be back after this on Sports Radio 810 WHB.